First Corinthians chapter 10. Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, draws an analogy between the church at Corinth and the nation of Israel as it came out of Egypt bound for the promised land. I'm going to read the 11th verse first, and then we'll go to the first verse. Now, all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world or of the age are come. The most important verse of Scripture in the study of the Old Testament. Here the Spirit of the Lord says that everything that happened to the nation of Israel happened as ensamples, or literally as types for us. God, knowing the conditions, situations which would confront us from the beginning of time, brought things to pass that He would use as illustration for us, showing us how and what to do. All of these things happened for ensamples. God brought these things to pass in order to have an example or a type for us. He didn't take something that happened and use it for a type. He had something to happen for a type. Now, the children of Israel in bondage in Egypt, typical of the church today in bondage and sin. The children of Israel were delivered by one man, Moses, who was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church being delivered today by one man, the man Christ Jesus. The children of Israel were delivered by the power of God. And the church is being delivered by the power of God. As the children of Israel started their journey toward the promised land, they had to cross the Red Sea. That crossing of the Red Sea is described in the Scripture as being baptized unto Moses in the sea and in the cloud. Now, it's well to notice here that it was absolutely necessary for the children of Israel to cross the Red Sea or to be baptized unto Moses in the sea before they started their journey through the wilderness to the promised land. The children of Israel, being saved by the blood, delivered by the power of God, began their march toward the promised land. It was absolutely essential for them to cross the Red Sea. absolutely essential for them to be baptized under Moses in the sea to make the journey to the promised land. Whereas it was essential, it was not sufficient. As one makes their journey toward the promised land, under the blood of Christ, obedient to the command of our Lord to follow Him in the ordinance of baptism, then they've started the journey. But whereas that is essential, it's not sufficient. Much else is required. The children of Israel were unfaithful. They didn't believe the promises of God. And they turned back 18 months out of Egypt from Kadesh Barnea to the desert. The church, individual members of the church, take their journey. And they get started. But for some reason or other, they turn back. Now the passage I'm about to read in this 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians tells us why and what was the cause of the children of Israel turning back. And these things happened unto the children of Israel as examples for you and me, that you and I, being forewarned, would be forearmed. Now let's look at the first verse of that 10th chapter. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. We're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our example to the intent that we should not, number one, lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, number two, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink, rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, number three, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, number four, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur, number five, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. 10 verses. Having read the 11th, we have here 5 specific incidents, indulgences of the children of Israel that caused them to be disapproved, to be rejected as prospective participants in the coming kingdom, or here, as it was, entering the promised land. I found this verse very interesting, the 5th verse. With many of them, God was not well pleased. With many of them. We have no specific numbering of the children of Israel that came out of Egypt, we do know there were 600,000, a little over 600,000 so-called fighting men. Men between the ages of 20 and 60 years. A logical conclusion would be that there would be approximately that many women, girls, between the same age. That would make 1,200,000. Consider how many children and how many babies and how many young people under 20. 1,000,000? I would think so. 2,200,000. How many over 60? Those days they lived, many of them over 100. I think a safe estimate would be another 1,000,000. I would think somewhere between 2 and 4 million people came out of Egypt, all under the blood, all partaking of the Passover lamb, all of them baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all of them bound for the promised land. And the scripture says with many of them God was not well pleased. Do you know how many of that approximate 2 to 3 or 4 million people entered the promised land? 2. And the Spirit said, with many he wasn't well pleased. I tell you, he wasn't well pleased with any of them except Joshua and Caleb. Were all of the rest lost? Did all of them perish? No. They just didn't enter the promised land. Moses, the leader, didn't enter the promised land. Aaron, his brother, didn't enter the promised land. Now let's see why and what happened. And what was the occasion? Number one, in the 6th verse, many of them lusted after evil things. You know that from your knowledge of the Old Testament, of the things for which they lusted. The leeks, the garlic, the onions, certain foods their palate had become accustomed to. Were these evil things? These were things that God had not provided. The lusting after things God has not provided constitutes lusting after evil things. God had made provision for them. God had given them the manna, that which contained every mineral, every vitamin essential, necessary to the sustenance of the human body at a peak capacity. Because that which God doeth, he doeth perfectly. And they lusted after something that God had not provided. What are the things after which you lust, which I lust, which I desire with a consuming desire? What are the things for which you'd sell your soul? What are the things for which you turn your back on God to acquire? Lusting after evil things. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. And Moses went up into the mount and was gone 40 days and nights. The children of Israel, in their skepticism, expressed doubt as to his returning, saying, "We know not what's happened to him." Now, make us something visible, something tangible that we can worship. Contrary to the commandment of God, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And the import and intent of that passage is any graven image as a means to worship. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God has forbidden the use of anything visible or tangible as an aid to worship. I've seen people with a glass marble with a millet seed inside of it. I've seen people wearing crosses. I've seen them with fish hanging from their necks. Something tangible, something visible. You'd be surprised how few people believe that you can come here and worship with nothing but the Bible and the Word of God, go your way, acceptable unto God. You're supposed to have a certain type envelope. You're supposed to fill out certain records. You're supposed to have certain types of organizations. You're supposed to have this and have that. Well, that's no church that you've got. Just meet there and read the Word and go home. The children of Israel said, "He's gone now, and we just don't know about these things. Now make us something visible." They prevailed upon Aaron, who gathered their jewelry. They had plenty of jewelry. They had plenty of silver, plenty of gold. Because the night they left Egypt, God put on the heart of the Egyptians to turn over to the children of Israel their possessions. And they came out of Egypt with enough possessions, not only for this, but to build the temple, tabernacle. They came out of there wealthy. And they didn't borrow it, as some translations have it. It was given to them. And they didn't misappropriate or take by stealth that which didn't belong to them. God Almighty gave it to them as commensuration for their years of labor, which they labored for nothing. And Aaron made them a golden calf. Something they could see. And they began to dance around, perform before that calf. Soon, as with so many exercises comparable to that, they disrobed themselves, began to engage in all manner of immoralities. Moses, coming down the mountain, said, I hear the sound from the camp, but it's not the sound of a victory, and it's not the sound of a worship of God. And the Lord told Moses what had been done, and Moses threw down tables of stone on which God had written the Ten Commandments and broke them into thousands of pieces. After a while, with the second set of commandments, there was judgment in the camp. Moses questioned Aaron about the making of the golden calf, the idol, for them to worship. And Aaron sought to dismiss it with a, I didn't do anything. I just threw the jewelry in the fire and this calf came out. Oh, brother. The calf was ground to powder, scattered on the water, and the people made to drink it. And thousands of them died from the drinking of it. An idol is something that's used to represent God to us. In another sense, an idol is something that comes between us and God. An idol is something that takes precedence over our worship of God. And there are many things that can take precedence over God. Something comes up, and you have to choose between God and this. What do you choose? Well, God we have with us always, so we just pass him up this time and choose this because this may be our last chance. How easy it is to bypass God. Worshiping idols. Another thing that appears in this thing of idols, they sat down to eat and drink and they rose up to play. And with the worship of the idols came the indulgence in pleasure. In the third chapter of 2 Timothy, the Spirit of the Lord calls our attention that one of the outstanding signs of the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be that men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And one of the primary idols of today is the idol of pleasure. We're seeking that which brings joy and happiness to self, unmindful of the fact that we were created to bring pleasure to the heart of our Lord. So great has this God of pleasure become that a church that is not actively engaged in supplying pleasure to its constituency is not considered a church. With the tens of thousands of avenues of pleasure, the multiplied thousands of ways of pleasure, the church still feels obligated to go in the entertainment business. The only institution on the face of the earth for the spiritual welfare and development of its people, prostituting itself by becoming a house of pleasure. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Number three, neither let us commit fornication. The sins of the flesh. I'm not going into that, time prohibits. sexual perversions and indulgences, premarital, postmarital, promarital, there's just one apt description of the days in which we live, given in the Word of God, as it was in the days of Lot, with Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Marriage as an institution established by God is described by the majority of people in the world today as a piece of paper. And what's a piece of paper, they say? The children of Israel, turning from the true and living God, inevitably became involved in all excesses of the sins of the flesh. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and destroyed of serpents. Do you remember when the children of Israel, many were destroyed by the serpents? Do you remember the occasion of the serpents coming into the camp? The children of Israel were complaining to God about the food He had provided. I'll tell you, beloved, we want to be on our guard about rejecting anything the Lord has provided. Think of the harsh response of God Almighty to Peter as he was resting on the housetop, engaged in prayer for a while. And the Lord let down a sheet from heaven in which were all kinds, fowls, beasts, and reptiles, clean and unclean, which He told Peter to rise, kill, and eat. And Peter, with that superior air of religious perfection, said, "I've never eaten anything unclean." As if God would offer him something unclean. And God replied, "Call not that unclean which I have cleansed." And God had given the manna for the children of Israel. They had tried changing its shape, its color, its taste. They had prepared it every way known to man to make it palatable, acceptable. I doubt not for what they broiled it, they baked it, they boiled it, fricasseed it, they fried it, made it up in casserole, they mixed it with this, they mixed it with that. It was still manna. The manna which God gave them in the wilderness to eat is analogous of the manna which God has given us to eat. And the Lord says in the Gospel of John, our forefathers ate of the manna which came down from heaven, given by Moses. But you're fed with the true manna which came from heaven, the Word of God. So their treatment of the manna is comparable to the treatment of mankind of the Word of God. how man changes this. I doubt not but what practically every day a new translation comes off the press trying to make this more acceptable. And they tone down this and they tone down that. There came a moment when the children of Israel in their rebellion against God cried out, "Our soul loatheth this light bread or this manna." You may not believe this, but I've had it said to me in other pastorates, "I get so sick and tired of nothing but the Word of God, I don't know what to do. I so loathe this manna." We want something besides the Word of God. We want something besides the Bible. And when they said that to the Lord, He sent those serpents into the camp. And they began striking the people. And people began to get sick and began to die. So widespread was the sickness and the illnesses that they cried out to Moses, who in turn called upon God. And God, at that particular instance, He had brought all this to pass in order that He might have the children of Israel make this serpent of brass and raise it in the camp of Israel. And He told Moses to make that serpent of brass and lift it high in the camp. And it had come to pass that whosoever looked upon the serpent would be healed. A beautiful picture of salvation by grace. It mattered not how sick an individual was. It mattered not how dim his eyes. His eyes might have been so dim that he couldn't see the cross and its the serpent and its form. But he could look. And the Lord says, if he looks, he'll be healed. Saved by a look. Now, one of the things that caused the children of Israel to have to wander in the wilderness till the last one of that generation had died was their hatred for the food that God had given them, the Word of God. The Word of God. Don't tempt the Lord by disregard for His Word. Read it, study it, meditate upon it. Here is God's message for you. Don't look for revelation, because the day of revelation has passed. Don't look for vision, because that day has passed. What God wants you to know is in this book. Neither murmur, as some of them murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyers. They fussed, they whined, they whimpered, they cried, they objected to everything. Now quit this murmuring. They didn't like God, they didn't like the manna, they didn't like the water, they didn't like anything. And they murmured. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad therein. As we read this morning, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Rejoice, ye saints of God, rejoice. God's on His throne, and all is well. Remembering that God desireth obedience and not sacrifice. Father, bless this word. this meditation to thine honor and glory. And may we, knowing the steps of Israel in their downfall, be warned and not fail as did they. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.